Hello, I'm John Mellis. Welcome to episode 116 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders of the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors. And not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney and Dave McDermott. So here we are recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Slightly different this week in so much as we have no match to look back on in terms of the men's first team, but we'll check out the fortunes of the under-18s just a minute, as well as the Scottish national team and ahead to a vital match against Ross County. But first, as I say, Aberdeen FC under-18s, who've hit a patch of good form the last few weeks, reaching the Scottish Youth Cup final and giving themselves an outside chance of league success. On Friday past, it was back to league duty when Hamilton Accies visited Cormac Park. Before that, though, it was Dundee United on Tuesday. How did those go, Andrew?
A bit of a mixed bag for Aberdeen. Another win against Dundee United. 3-1 was the final score at Cormac Park on Tuesday. A first-half hat-trick for Alfie Stewart, his third goal, another direct from a corner, starting to be Alfie's trademark goal. And quite incredibly, when I spoke to him after the game, I said, "When was your last hat-trick?" He says, "I've never scored a hat-trick in my life at any level."
Wow.
So that was a very special moment for Alfie. And having him and Finlay Marshall in the team for the first hour made such a difference to Aberdeen. They really steamrolled Dundee United in that first half. But then when they came off, because obviously they were playing for Peterhead and Edinburgh City respectively this past weekend, Dundee United came much more into the game. They got a goal back, they hit the post, and Aberdeen had an awful lot of defending to do in that second half before they saw the game out. But they got there despite losing Christovi Kondolu to a red card, second yellow card in that instance. Bit of a recurring theme for the under-18s, red cards. As Dave texted me on Friday after another one, which we'll hear about just shortly, it is a little bit of a worry because you're missing out players because of suspensions. The one on Tuesday, Christovi, is a young player. He'd come on as a substitute. A couple of missed time tackles now. That can happen to anybody in a game. But when you've got that bit more experience, when you're on a yellow card, you tend not to go diving into the type of challenge that he got his second yellow card for. In all honesty, it could easily have been a straight red, but the referee saw it as a second yellow. But it's something that he'll learn from, I'm quite sure. But 3-1 on Tuesday, so with the game on Friday against Hamilton Accies, you knew that there's going to be none of the more experienced boys available. And it was a very young side that was up against a very well-organised, very committed, a very determined Hamilton Accies side, wanting to put right that 5-1 defeat that they suffered in their home patch to Aberdeen just a few short weeks ago. And they got the revenge with a 4-2 victory. Two goals for Lewis Carroll for Aberdeen, his first two goals for the under-18s this season. But Fraser Mackey sent off in the first half. And in that instance, I think it was an experience on the referee's part. A coming together of two players didn't appear to be anything in it at all, but he was across with a red card out in a flash to Fraser Mackey, booked the Hamilton defender who was involved. People that were closer to the incident than me said it was 6-1, half dozen the other. So if it was a red card for one, it should have been a red for the other. But it did mean that Aberdeen had to play something like 70 minutes with 10 players. And ultimately that proved too much for them, with Hamilton scoring two goals in stoppage time to win the game. Scott Anderson also sent off in the incident that Fraser Mackey was involved in for his words of wisdom to the referee, which didn't go down well.
By example.
Well, Scott's one of the more mild-mannered of the coaches that I've certainly worked with at under-18 level. But I just thought that the referee had a poor game. He was very pernickety with some things. He let some really awful challenges go, unchallenged at all. And I just thought he was never on top of the game. But it's no excuse. They lost the game 4-2. So as a result, it means that Kilmarnock still lead the way. They've played 22 games and have 45 points. Rangers are 8 points behind Killie, but having played a game less. Aberdeen, having played two games less than Rangers, are a further point back. So conceivably, the Dons could win all their games in hand of Kilmarnock and get up to 45 points, but there is a 15-goal difference in the respective goal differences. So they'd have to have three really big wins if they were to overcome Kilmarnock. But still a lot to play for in the season. It's not all doom and gloom, but I think the inexperience of some of the players showed through a little bit on Friday. I think some of the older boys would have said at 2-2 going into stoppage time, let's just make sure that we get a point out of this. We've done well to play for as long with only 10 men, but they were still trying to push forward, got caught a couple of times. Few defensive errors, a horrible day for playing football, a howling gale coming whistling down from one end to the other at Cormac Park, and an extremely cold afternoon. It wasn't conducive for great football, but give credit to Hamilton. When they are at it, they're a very, very difficult side to play against, and they were at their best on Friday there. So no disgrace to lose to them. But as I say, all is not lost. They've still got that big cup final to look forward to, and they've got a double header at home against Rangers on the 2nd and the 12th of April. So these two games are going to be very important in the build-up to the Youth Cup final, which goes ahead on Wednesday, the 1st of May at Hampden. So there's still a huge incentive for everyone involved in the squad at all ages to do well to get themselves to the big showpiece game.
And the next one, I think, is against Hibs away, isn't it, this Friday?
That's correct. Down at Hibs training ground, 6 p.m. kickoff on Friday. Another tough game. Hibs haven't had the best of seasons, but they always give you a really tough game down at their own training ground. Again, it's a place that's exposed to the elements, so if there's a bit of wind there, it's never the easiest place to see a really good game of football. But this team has shown its ability to bounce back from setbacks. It will be interesting to see how they go this Friday night.
So when he talks about the wind at Cormac Park there, I actually had a shudder in my chair.
Yes, you were thinking back to that tournament.
To the under-14s tournament when it snowed and it just dried. It is a bit of a wind tunnel, isn't it?
Oh, it is. The wind comes whistling down the valley and takes a sharp turn at the roundabouts.
It drives right down, yeah.
And heads straight along towards the AWPR. And there's no hiding place from it whatsoever.
Yeah. Aberdeen women aim to be the best of the rest and finish top of the bottom half of the table. Come the end of their campaign, they play all the other teams home and away before the finish. Those teams are Spartans, Motherwell, Hamilton Accies, Montrose and Dundee United, just a reminder. The first of those games was at home, Albemarle Stadium against Spartans. It finished 2-0 for the Dons. We reported that last week, which was a decent start. Their next match is on Sunday away to Motherwell. The international break ongoing, of course, as we record, Scotland preparing to go into the second of their matches in this window when they take on Northern Ireland at Hampden. We'll get on to that in a moment. First, our attentions turn to the Dons first team. And again, as we record, no managerial appointment to speak of. Everyone check your phones. Guaranteed it'll happen just after we finish or during the show, but at a point where we're unable to do anything about it. So we'll proceed as things are at the minute with a must-win game against Ross County coming up on Saturday at Pittodrie. Let's just recap. How do you see it going, Andrew? The type of game and a score predictor, please.
Very difficult game. I'm hoping it's a decent game of football because it's two teams that are more suited to playing an open game than to shutting up shop. So I'm hoping it's a reasonably attractive game. And I think I went 2-0 for Aberdeen last week. So I'll stick with that.
And Dave?
Yeah, and I think I went with 2-1. Not as much confidence in our defence as Andrew has, but I'll stick with 2-1. And it, as everybody says and everybody knows, it's a must-win game for us.
I think one good thing that's happened since we last recorded, Bojan Miovski has broken his scoring duck because he scored for North Macedonia against Moldova. So that will have given him confidence. And he played again against Montenegro last night or yesterday afternoon. So he's come through two international games unscathed, we hope, and will come back feeling a lot better about himself and hopefully ready to get back onto the scoring trail for the Dons on Saturday.
Let's briefly look at the national team before we get on to the rest of last weekend's action. A 4-0 defeat to the Netherlands on Friday night, Andrew, in a game where, for spells, we challenged pretty well.
We did indeed. I thought we played some great football at times. I think, Dave, you texted me and said, you know, after all the years of watching absolute garbage from Scotland, isn't it a joy to watch this? I didn't actually watch the game live because I was out. And when I came back and saw that the score was 4-0 to Holland, I thought, has Dave been on the wine again? But then I did watch the highlights and I thought Scotland played some great stuff and really should have probably won the game because they created every bit as good a chance as Holland did at any point in the game. But it was a little bit worrying the way they fell away defensively. Lauren Shanklin missed a great opportunity to make it 1-1. It was a friendly. There's a lot of things that you could say, well, it didn't really matter, but you don't want to get into a losing rut, which Scotland are in at the moment, and we're conceding quite a lot of goals. We want to get that turned around as quickly as we possibly can, starting tonight against Northern Ireland at Hampden.
Yeah, these matches chalked up as friendlies, Dave, but the fact remains we haven't had a win in a while, playing some of the bigger teams, trying to match ourselves against them, which is all very well, but losing can become a habit in much the same way winning can. We can't afford to slip up against Northern Ireland at home tonight, can we?
No, and I don't think we will. You know, I thought in the first half on Friday we were absolutely excellent, and we should have, you know, we had chances. Ryan Christie had a great chance. Shankland's opportunity, Andrew mentioned. So, you know, we're creating and, you know, opening up that Holland defence. We have played good teams. Northern Ireland, not quite at the level of some of the opponents we've had, and I fully expect us to win relatively comfortably at Hampden tonight.
Okay, well, let's get a quick score predictor for this evening then. Scotland v Northern Ireland, Dave.
3-1, Josh McGuinness to come on for Ireland and get a consolation.
Andrew.
I'll go with a clean sheet for whoever is in goal. It may well be Craig Gordon tonight at the age of about 142. I think Scotland will win 3-0. I think the chances they missed against Holland, they will convert tonight and they'll be much tighter at the back.
Just briefly on this, I mean, it's all very well losing 4-0 to Holland. It's, okay, I mean, given the way we played, it's a shock. But in previous games that we played against Holland, 4-0 is not out of the ordinary as a scoreline when you're across there. If we were to lose or even draw with Northern Ireland tonight, do you think that would affect confidence going into the Euros, Dave?
Possibly. But I don't think the confidence has been dented in the recent games. Yeah, 4-0, you know, Steve Clark admitted that the players had to get him out of his sulk after it because he was not happy at all. And I think that shows, you know, where we are compared to in days gone by. So, no, but I firmly believe that we will get back on to the horse tonight and get back to winning ways.
Okay, on to Cove Rangers, battling to get back in contention and into one of those playoff spots. Last week, they won 1-0 against Kelty Hearts away. This weekend past, they were back home at Balmoral Stadium to take on second top Hamilton. That one ended Cove Rangers 1, Hamilton 3. Speaking after a match played in difficult, very blustery conditions, manager Paul Hartley.
I'm disappointed in the result, but knowing the performance of the players, I thought we were really good today. So for 80-odd minutes, we looked like we were the team that were going to win the game. And then, you know, we just, our mentality, we lost bad goals the day in terms of defensively, but I thought some of our play was really good today. I thought I was really pleased how we played.
And their first goal, Conor Scully came off him, but he couldn't really do too much about it.
No, we looked at it at half time. We probably should match the runner better and then get out to close the ball down better. But second half, I thought we were really good. I thought we were good in the first half. I thought we had some good play, good opportunities, good chances. And then for the second half, we totally controlled it for 80 odd minutes, and then we got hit with a sucker punch. And it's easy to just you know, look at the goals and how bad they were, but I'll go through it tomorrow and look at what can we do better. But, you know, overall, I'm disappointed for the players because I felt we put so much into it and so much good play today.
And, of course, it's just the post that came between Fraser Fivey scoring the first half.
Yeah, it was. I said their play was good the first half. We looked a real threat going forward. Some good play. We passed the ball well today. Second half, loads of chances. But maybe never get the wee break and weren't they maybe clinical enough?
And our goal, Conor Scully, that was a superb goal, well made and a good finish.
That's great play. Start down the right, we worked the ball to central, Gowser just lay off, and Conor, what the good midfielders do is follow up, a terrific finish.
And it's just a case of, you know, getting back in the saddle for next week, because Stirling at home and there's still points to play for, and Alnwick at home as well today.
We're still in it, we're still in the mix for the playoffs, so as I said, we go again next week, but take a lot of positives to that game today.
Cove's Josh Kerr, not too subdued given the teams just above Cove in contention for a playoff spot, both lost two.
The scoreline doesn't really resemble the way that we played. I thought we had great good chances. I think that comes with confidence, so like, we've got boys up top who previously would have put them away, but they're just maybe going a wee bit low in confidence. But I think we need to take the positives for that and know that they're second in the league and we more than matched them, and it was just a few unfortunate goals, and we know we can do better, but it's something to build on.
And with two teams above you also losing, there's nothing really, it's obviously a chance miss, but there's nothing being lost really.
Yeah, that's it. We've got six or seven games now, so they're cup finals, so for us we just need to go in with the mentality, ruthless mentality, that if you put a good run together now and you get into the playoffs, you're going in with momentum.
Go back at Balmoral Stadium on Saturday, continuing that quest to reach the playoffs when they take on Stirling Albion. To Peterhead, who drew 1-1 against East Fife last time out. This weekend, past, they faced league leaders Stenhouse Muir away. It ended 0-0. Stenny, so far ahead in the league, I think they're on the beach already, at least in their minds. Probably a good point on balance, Andrew. Spartans, the team immediately behind them, also drew 0-0 against Clyde. The slight worry being Dumbarton's 2-0 victory over Bonnyrigg Rose, propelling them into third. Neck and neck with Peterhead and points, just behind on goal difference, still all to play for, but they can't afford too many draws going forward, can they?
No, but it's so tight, that league. You know, Clyde are bottom, but they are the form sides in the league, and it was a good point, certainly down at Stenhouse Muir, because they have been absolutely flying this season, and they will get promotion, no question of that. It's only a matter of time when their championship success is sealed. Looking at the final six fixtures, and this is what we're going into, the last group of six fixtures, home to Clyde, away to Bonnyrigg, home to Forfar, away to Elgin, away to Spartans, and then home to Dumbarton. These last two games, Spartans are away and Dumbarton at home, they are the ones that will dictate where Peterhead will finish in the playoff spots. They will be in the playoff spots. I'm absolutely certain of that. But it's where they're going to finish, because you don't want to be in the fourth spot, because they play against the second bottom team from League One. And I think they would prefer to play a fellow League Two side in the first playoff to get through to the final of the playoff. But a lot still to play for, and there's going to be funny results getting thrown up, because Stranraer are capable on their day of beating anyone. They are right in the mire. Clyde have really come on strong.
Yeah, they're a bit of a wrecking ball, aren't they?
They are. I don't think people really want to be playing Clyde these days, because they're capable of producing the real upsets. But it's a massive game up at Balmoor on Saturday, and one Peterhead will definitely want to win. They don't want to draw it. They want to get a victory, because I think if they can win their three home games and pick up maybe one or two victories away from home, signed, sealed and delivered in that second spot.
Mm. Yeah, as you say, this week, Peterhead back at home, this time to Clyde. In the Highland League, Saturday's games like this: Brechin City 5, Turriff United 1. For Martin United 1, Banksiddy 4. Forest Mechanics 0, Nairn County 0. Fraserburgh 5, Rothes 0. Huntly 1, Brora Rangers 0. Inverurie Locos 1, Keith 2. Lossiemouth 3, Devon Vale 3, Strathspey Thistle 2, Clackenacudden 1, and finally Wick Academy 3, Bucky Thistle 1. And all that means Brechin remain top on 69 points, having played 28 games. Frisburn in second on 66 from 30. Banksiddy on 65 from 30 in third. In the juniors, Dave.
Your results from the weekend, McBookie.com Premier League, Bridgeton Thistle 0, Rothley Rovers 0, Buckingham Hearts 1, Maud 0, Cooter 8, Stonywood Park Vale 0, Dice 0, Colony Park 2, East End 0, Fraserburgh United 1, Ellen United 2, Near St Ninian 2, Stonehaven 1, Hermes 3, and Sunnybank 2, Newmarket United 2. In the Championship, Bankery St Ternan 7, Cruden Bay 0, Banksiddy 9, White Hills 0, Birkhead Thistle 5, Devonside 4, Dufftown 6, Forest Thistle 1, Isle of Ale 3, Holrus United 0, and Glossymouth United 6, Glentanner 2. And as far as this weekend is concerned, you'll be delighted to know on Friday evening there's a North Region Junior FA Regional Cup sponsored by Domino's Pizza Quarter Final between Hermes and Dice at Lockside Park. It kicks off at 8 o'clock.
On that Saturday. Is so disappointing. It's two short names, Hermes and Dice. But sorry, I can't that. With that big name.
We'll see if Buckingham and Harris and Stonewood Park Vale can
absolutely.
Get drafted in. Yes. Anyway, on Saturday in the Premier League, Cooter against Colony Park. Buckingham and Harris travel to Ellen United. It's Maud versus Stonehaven. Near St Ninian against Bridgeton Thistle. Newmarket United versus Fraserburgh United. East End are at Stonywood Park Vale, and at Headley Fold at Sunnybank against Rothie Rovers. In the Championship, Cruden Bay against Holrus United, Dufftown versus White Hills. And in the Elginshire Cup second round, Birkhead Thistle at home to Banksiddy. Bankery go to Isle of Ale. Longside take on Lossiemouth United, and New Elgin versus Devonside. All games kicking off at 2 o'clock.
I tell you, a team of 400 nanas already committed to knitting that commemorative scarf. They've probably already started. They'll sew in the names of the winners at a later date. Do you want to mention anything about your night from last weekend? From last Wednesday, rather?
Last Wednesday? Yeah, thoroughly enjoyable. A trip down memory lane, and we enjoyed it. It's the players and the management team from 2014, they certainly enjoyed it. I think, Andrew, the folk that were in attendance had a good evening as well.
Yeah, they did. Mark Reynolds, the star of the show. He can go into a stand-up career, the stories that guy tells and the way he tells them. The thing is with Mark, you've got to be very, very careful when you're speaking to him and listen to what he's saying, because he'll go dive off at a tangent and then he'll come back and go, "What was your question again?" As he did to you on a couple of occasions. Yes. But no, it was a great night, and it was so good to see that there is that same bond that, you know, the Gothenburg guys have when they get together with that group of players. And I think they all really enjoyed it. I spoke to Johnny Hayes out at Cormac Park on Friday afternoon, and I said, "You enjoy your evening?" He says, "Oh, it was brilliant." He said, "We're all going to be getting together for a golf day, maybe not this summer, but the following summer." He said, it's really bonded us once again. And that's the whole point of these evenings, is get these guys together, get them telling their stories. We never quite managed to get Tony Dock to sing The Wanderer, as he had done on the bus coming home. But it brought back so many good memories. And I thought both Derek and Tony spoke very passionately about the club, and you can see that it means so much to them. And the players likewise, they were all delighted to be back in each other's company once again. So yeah, a really, really enjoyable evening.
Do you know, we should just mention very briefly, we do say any sport from the northeast of Scotland. I don't know if you've been paying any attention to the World Cycling Championships at all, the pair of you, have you?
A little bit.
I'll take that
not
as, a
as much as you have.
Obviously.
Yeah, well, Neil Fahey and Laura Fahey
managed
to compete together for the very first time
And got a silver.
And got a silver, which they then promptly lost on the way home because they were mugged, had all their belongings taken, including those silver medals, which would have meant a lot to them, but especially so because it was the first time they'd actually raced together in the same event. A couple of days after that, Neil raced again and retained gold in the kilo. Which you have to say is a sign of a true champion. Laura, unfortunately, had to pull out because of circumstances surrounding the event of that week. But I just think, you know, you've got a real champion there that turns up a couple of days after being mugged, still takes home a gold medal from the World Cycling Championship. So well done, and hopefully the two of them back to being fighting fit again soon. That is pretty much it for episode 116 of Pittodrie PS for this week. Remember, we publish every Tuesday if we can, looking back at the Dons' previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show as well. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.